Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to 1 Chronicles chapter 26. First Chronicles chapter 26, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Concerning the divisions of the porters of the Korahites was Meshelemiah, the son of Korah, of the sons of Asaph. And the sons of Meshelemiah were Zechariah the firstborn, Jediel the second, Zebediah the third, Jotniel the fourth, Elam the fifth, Jehohanan the sixth, Elioenai the seventh. Moreover, the sons of Obed-Edom were Shemaiah the firstborn, Jehozabad the second, Joah the third, and Sakar the fourth, and Netanael the fifth, Amiel the sixth, Issachar the seventh, Peultai the eighth, for God blessed him. Also, unto Shemaiah his son were sons born that ruled throughout the house of their father, for they were mighty men of valor. The sons of Shemaiah, Othni, and Rephael, and Obed, Elzabad, whose brethren were strong men, Elihu, and Semachiah. All these of the sons of Obed-Edom, they and their sons and their brethren, able men for strength for the service, were 62 of Obed-Edom. And Meshelemiah had sons and brethren, strong men, 18. Also, Hosa of the children of Merari had sons, Simri the chief, for though he was not the firstborn, yet his father made him the chief. Hilkiah the second, Tebaliah the third, Zechariah the fourth. All the sons and brethren of Hosa were 13. Among these were the divisions of the porters, even among the chief men, having wards one against another to minister in the house of the Lord. And they cast lots as well the small as the great, according to the house of their fathers for every gate. And the lot eastward fell to Shelemiah. Then for Zechariah his son, a wise counselor, they cast lots, and his lot came out northward, to Obed-Edom southward, and to his sons the house of Asupim. To Supim and Hosa the lot came forth westward with the gate Shalaketh by the causeway of the going up ward against ward. Eastward were the Levites, northward 4 a day, southward 4 a day, and toward Asupim 2 and 2, at Parbar westward, 4 at the causeway, and 2 at Parbar. These are the divisions of the porters among the sons of Korah and among the sons of Merari. And of the Levites, Ahijah was over the treasures of the house of God and over the treasures of the dedicated things. As concerning the sons of Leadon, the sons of the Gershonite Leadon, chief fathers, even Leadon the Gershonite, were Jehaeli, the sons of Jehaeli, Zetham, and Joel his brother, which were over the treasures of the house of the Lord. Of the Amramites and the Izharites, the Hebronites and the Uzielites, and Shebuel, the son of Gershom, the son of Moses, was ruler of the treasures. And his brethren by Eleazar, Rehabiah his son, and Jeshiah his son, and Joram his son, and Zikri his son, and Shelomith his son, which Shelomith and his brethren were over all the treasures of the dedicated things, which David the king and the chief fathers, the captains over thousands and hundreds, and the captains of the host had dedicated. Out of the spoils won in battles did they dedicate to maintain the house of the Lord. And all that Samuel the seer and Saul the son of Kish and Abner the son of Ner and Joab the son of Zeruiah had dedicated, and whatsoever had dedicated anything, it was under the hand of Shelomith and of his brethren. Of the Izharites, Kenaniah and his sons were for the outward business over Israel, for officers and judges. And of the Hebronites, Hashabiah and his brethren, men of valor, 1,700 were officers among them of Israel, on this side Jordan westward, in all the business of the Lord and in the service of the king. Among the Hebronites was Jerijah the chief, even among the Hebronites, according to the generations of his fathers. In the 40th year of the reign of David, they were sought for, and there were found among them mighty men of valor at Jazer of Gilead. And his brethren, men of valor, were 2,700 chief fathers, whom King David made rulers over the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh for every matter pertaining to God and the affairs of the king. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so notice that this history, first of all, let's put it in its context. It's written in the after the return from the exile, and yet it's a history that chronicles the kingdom and the activities of David and all of the priests and Levites that ministered in his day. So notice how important the history was to the Israelites, such that Ezra would republish it in a brand new volume when they came back into the land. What does that tell us? What is the application of that? That in order to know what they ought to do, they need to know what they had been commanded to do in the days of David. And so they remembered all of that. They chronicled all of that, if you will. They wrote it down such that they had a method of procedure toward which, like we heard last week, they would attain to as much as they could. Right? Toward which they would attain as much as they could. And in anything, if they were lacking, because they were a people that had been somewhat abused and decimated in the land of their captivity, if they didn't have anything in order to meet some of those standards, they would adhere as close as possible to those standards. And so that's what they did. And that's what this whole chapter is about. Four times in this chapter, what do we hear? We hear something like strong men or mighty men of valor. Now, here's something that I want you to understand. That while it has been a caricature of men in the ministry to be weak-kneed men, and frankly, we have had our share of those, that in the Scripture it is not so. That in the Scripture, what we want for men in the ministry are mighty men of valor, strong men. That they must be men, and when I say strong, I don't mean Paul Anderson kind of strong. Some of you wonder who Paul Anderson was. He was a weightlifter when I was growing up, and he still holds the record for the greatest deadlift, 6,000 something pounds. Think about that. That was a strong man. Yeah, he didn't look like someone that you would see like on the stage of a bodybuilding, you know, competition. Actually, a bull gorilla would have been proud of his back. You know, that he was that kind of strong. But that's not the strength that we're looking for here for men in the ministry. We want men that are unflinchingly strong, men of valor. The word for valor is men of great courage with regard to the things of Christ. Men that will not back down, that will suffer at the point of a sword under men that are perhaps stronger than they are of body, rather than to give up any point of what our Lord has taught us. We want men of that kind of valor in the ministry. Over again in this passage, we have the Levites being described as men of valor, strong men for the work. It's especially important, isn't it, to remember that in the days of David, they stopped carrying things around. So they didn't have to be strong in that sense. They stopped carrying around the ark. Now, I will say that when you think of the altar, of burnt offering, that was perhaps a 6x6 or a 7x7 brass covered wooden structure that had rings in it to be carried about. I think a few of us would have struggled under one of those staves. But they no longer had to carry that. What they had to carry was the orthodoxy. And they must be strong in carrying it. And so I hope that you are in prayer for our ministers and elders, not just in our church, but in other like-minded churches. I hope you are praying for their strength, that they would be men of valor, that they would be men who refuse compromise at every turn and stand instead to be a people a ministry that is standing against the tide of sub-orthodoxy that is washing through our churches these days. We want to be like those big rocks in the middle of the stream that are unmoved by the current. That kind of strength. How about the house of Obed-Edom, huh? Obed-Edom, you remember who Obed-Edom was, right? When they brought the Ark of God the first time and Uzzah touched it and then died, David said, well, I'll tell you what, let's turn aside and let's give it to Obed-Edom's house for a while and it can stay there. Now, he was not of Edom, Obed-Edom, in that sense. He was from a different part that was called Edom because of the redness of the land. No, he wasn't an Edomite, he was a Levite. And so notice that there were 62 of his household that ministered in the days of David. You see that? And so his house was particularly blessed. When we read in the four books of the Kings that the Lord blessed his house. Now we know what that meant. The Lord gave him 62 offspring to minister to the Lord. Men of what? Valor. Strong men for the work of the Lord. And then the last thing that I want you to notice as we wrap up this chapter is that there were two particular spheres of authority that we see described toward the end of the chapter over and again. We see the king's matters and the other matters, the matters of the Levites. Let's refresh ourselves. Let's see what that says once again. And his brethren, men of valor, this is the last verse of the chapter, were 2,700 chief fathers whom King David made rulers over the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half tribe of Manasseh for every matter pertaining to God and the affairs of the king. And so this is the kind of thing that we see often in the Old Testament that tells us, and I think that Gillespie has it right in his book, Aaron's Rod, and in other places in his writing, 111 propositions and so on, that these are the kinds of things that speak to two separate, as Israel advanced, two separate elderships, the elderships over the civil affairs and the elderships over the churchly affairs, the things of the king and the things of God. Jehoshaphat did the same thing. We'll read about him a little bit later. There were the things of God and the things of the king. God's matters and the king's matters. The civil matters and the religious matters, if you will. The churchly, ecclesiastical matters. And so that's what we see here. We saw it, I think, two or three times in the chapter, if you were listening when we read through it. Okay, well, that ends the reading then of 1 Chronicles chapter 26. We